This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Absolutely love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always eager to hear from you right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation. Let me give you a number to use. That number to use is 833-288-E. WTN. It's toll free for you right here in North America. Again, that number is 833-288-3986. We invite you to pick up the phone and dial 833-288-3986, 833-288-EWTN to join us today. We are here for you to talk about anything that you want to talk about today. We love to pray with you. You know that very, very well. We often invite you to send your prayer request to us via womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's Women of Grace, plural on the women. Women of Grace, all one word. womenofgrace@ewtn.com. You can use that address to reach us. If it is a prayer request that you're sending to us that way, please do know that in the subject line. If it is just a general question, we're going to get to all of it, but we do float the prayer request to the top of the line, really, because we know that some of them are urgent in need, and we certainly do want to be here with you as sisters and brothers in Christ to lift you up, to edify you, to pray with you, to be of service to you in any way that we possibly can. So we're inviting you to give us a call today, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. So we invite you to do that. I'm also inviting you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things available for you there. But I do want to draw your attention to our upcoming Women of Grace retreat. Now, typically, we hold this at Malvern every summer. We've been there for, oh, goodness sakes, ages and ages. And we are really going to miss being there this year. But as you well know, given the situation and the current climate that we're in, we're not able to have these larger gatherings with any regularity. So we decided to bring it to you virtually because we sure didn't want to skip it. And frankly, missing you, we want to be with you. And this is a great way to introduce many of you to our Women of Grace experience, even though this is outside of the normal way in which we do things. The theme for this upcoming Women of Grace retreat is Made for Happiness, Made for Joy. God gave us this theme many months ago when we were praying. We just felt like this was the Holy Spirit's will that we go in this direction, having absolutely no idea that we would be facing the situations and circumstances that we're facing today. But what a reminder that is, right? That we are made for happiness, made for joy. God did not make us to suffer. He made us to rejoice in Him in all things, even in the midst of suffering. God made us for happiness, for joy. There's a way in which that comes about. We're going to be exploring that way and all of the attenuating paths that lead to true happiness, that lead to true joy. And I am so eager for this event, and I really want you to come. So I'm inviting you to get out to womenofgrace.com. Number one in the slideshow talks with you about our Young Women of Grace event. It's a mini retreat webinar for girls. It will be on Saturday, July the 11th, between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. You know, we want you to gather your daughters, your nieces, your granddaughters, those young ladies who populate your life in other ways, like students or youth group participants or your neighborhood girls, and expose them to really good teaching that is going to help them to understand who they are in Christ Jesus so that they can experience the full measure of joy and happiness that God wants them to know. And that's going to be presented Saturday, July 11th. We have a special presenter for them, Samantha Kelly, founder of Fierce Athlete. You can go to her website. It's fierceathlete.org, fierceathlete.org. Find out about her. She is dynamic. Had the opportunity to interview her on our television program, Women of Grace, and also to be with her in a conference situation myself that I was attending for conference leaders. And I got to tell you, this girl is dynamic, and she will, I know, be of great influence on your daughters in a very positive way. They will like her very much, and she's just terrific. So we want you to find out more about that there. The second slideshow is on the retreat for the adult women, and it is Made for Happiness, Made for Joy. It begins Friday evening, July the 10th, and it runs through the 11th. It closes with a beautiful healing service that is going to be presented by one of our speakers, Kathleen McCarthy. Father Peter John Cameron is also going to be present for that. We will have opportunity to virtually worship our Lord in His true presence. I know that God is going to allow the graces to flow. Healing graces are going to flow. We just know this in the Spirit. We're very, very convinced that God desires for us to come together to know this great outpouring of His love for us. And you know, I've often said about every retreat or conference that we've held, you have to get under the spot where the glory pours out if you want to experience the glory, right? So there is going to be a spout of glory pouring out July 11th and July 10th there for our Women of Grace retreat. You can register right online. I've mentioned all of the presenters. Kathleen McCarthy is going to be presenting to the women. Father Peter John Cameron is going to be presenting to the women. Samantha Kelly will be presenting to the women as well as the young women. I will be presenting to the women. And you know what? If you're a guy, we often get gentlemen who are saying, well, Johnny, you know, I really want to come to one of your retreats. I really want to come to one of your conferences. Can I come? And we always say, sure, if you understand that the slant, of course, is for the daughters of the Most High God. But what he says to his daughters, you know, in some way he's saying to his sons too, you know, the message of the gospel is universal. It's meant for men and women. It's meant for all people without distinction, you know, but we just take a little, you know, more womanly look, may I say. We look at who woman is in the eyes of God. But this is a great way for you gentlemen to participate. You know, if you feel a little shy, like, oh, I don't want to go to a women's retreat. You could do it this way. Nobody's going to know. You could be incognito, as it were, right? So we invite you to get out to our website. Take a look at that. Sign up right there on the website for this beautiful, beautiful experience. If you click on the slideshow, it's going to take you to a landing page. All of the topics and who's presenting and when is available. You can sign up for every session. There's a discounted value for that. But you can also sign up for onesie, twosie, or however you'd like, even just for the healing service if you feel you really need that. You know, and that's the only time that you have available. That's fine. We get it. We do understand. We're in a very fluid situation here. So it is not necessarily business as usual. And I know we're all praying that this isn't going to be business as usual. At least yours truly is praying that way. You know, I get a little concerned here. Now I'm off on a little tangent, shiny object. I'm following it. I get a little concerned when I begin to see a lot of advertisements for face masks, you know, and now I'm seeing them in the stores, color coordinating to outfits. This is not what we want to see. We were not made to mask our face. Think about this. Corinthians 1, is it Corinthians? No, wait a second. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed from glory to glory into His very image by the Lord who is the Spirit. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory, how? With unveiled faces are being transformed from glory to glory into His very image by the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, I get the need for face masks right now, but we don't want to live in this forever. It's not the new reality. Even symbolically, it should send shivers up our spine. Amen? So we've got to stand together as the people of God. Pray for healing. Pray for this nation. But more on that on the other side of the break. What are your thoughts on all of it today? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Johnette Williams. Eager to hear from you. Let's have some holy conversation. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to hear from you today. My goodness sakes. It's just a great opportunity to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to, you know, really look at what's happening in the world today, what's happening in our personal lives, and begin to look at them from a different perspective. And I think that that's one of the great features of Catholic radio. We have that opportunity to talk about it right here on the air. And my ears are wide open for you today. They always are. But I'm really eager to hear from you. Let me give you a number that you can use. It's 833-288-EWTN. It's toll-free for you right here in North America, 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone, give us a call. We're also available to you out there in social media land. We're there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Always happy to join you at those locations. You can use the chat feature there to get your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up on the board so that we can get to it. We also like to hear from you via our email. womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the way that you can join us. And we've got the listener comment line too. So you can always use that. All kinds of ways that you can join us on Women of Grace Live when we are on the air, or leaving messages for us when we're off the air that we can get to when we are on the air. Got another way that you can do that. You can text EWTN. Text us today. EWTN at 55000. Text EWTN to 55000. Looking forward to hearing from you in all of these fantastic ways in which we can share our time together today and grow in wisdom, age, and grace, I hope. That's what the goal is, right? So we went to that break there, and I was telling you, you know, that, you know, God gives us great guidance in all things, and He is always speaking a word to us. We never have to wonder, is He speaking a word? He's always speaking a word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and it's by the very presence of the Word active in our lives that we are sustained, right? That we have life, that things just don't fall into complete collapsing and disorder. Although sometimes we see the disorder caused by the residual effects of original sin taking place in our midst. And we certainly see that today. And I wanted to talk about one thing that somebody shared with me this morning that Cardinal Seurat said. And he said something like, you know, it is, and this is a paraphrase, but this is very, very close. You know, it is not our mission to save a collapsing world. It is not our mission to save a collapsing world. Frankly, you know, we have to do what we can in a collapsing world. So I don't think that he's saying that, but we can't save it. You know, a collapsing world can only be saved by God. We have to pray though, right? And he says, but it is our job in a collapsing world to live our faith, to be that witness for Christ. So, you know, we look at the current day and time and we say, well, what can I really do about it? Well, you can do a lot about it from the standpoint that you pray, but also by the standpoint of your witness. Now, can you save it? Has God self-appointed you to be the Savior? No, not necessarily. You know, He hasn't. No, we have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. But we can plead the grace of God to rain down on us today. And that is what we should be doing. Now, what does the evil one want us to do? He wants to stop us from that mission. Because know it or not, you are all powerful with God. And I cannot stress that enough. You, listening right this very moment, I want you to hear it. You are all powerful with God. It isn't your power that you operate out of. You operate out of His power. And when you operate out of His power, then big things, dynamic things begin to happen and change occurs. It's the absolute truth. It's a spiritual principle. It's the way God ordained it. It's the way He wants it to be. We think that beautiful passage that applies so much today that we find in Colossians 1:24, you know, where St. Paul cries out, I make up in my own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of His body, the church. What is he talking about there? God the Father, says St. John Paul II, saw fit, you know, to receive the full measure of what was necessary for the salvation of mankind through Jesus. He atoned perfectly, and he atoned to the full limit of what atonement was necessary. But God saw fit to leave open a portion of that for us to experience and enter into in every day and time. It seems as though this salvific action needs to be present in every moment. And one way in which he makes this present, I'll give you two ways. One way in which he makes it present is through the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The second way in which he makes it present is through you and me, through us, in cooperation with that salvific action. And so when we align ourselves with God, when we are operating in His will, when we are sublimating our desires to His, when we are permitting ourselves to be completely surrendered to Him, to the extent that on any given day we can be completely surrendered, You know, I mean, surrender is not a static state. We should always be moving towards complete and total surrender to God, getting out of our own way, getting healed in the ways that prevent us from doing that, getting out of the sin that prevents us from doing that, you know, giving up our weaknesses and frailties, begging God for the virtues opposite them that we might live them in our lives. When we are about that kind of a business, then more and more of the God life takes up residence within us. We don't become God, but His life operates in us, and His life operates through us. This is why St. Paul cries out, "We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus." Amen? Say that with me now. I don't care where you are. If you have to say it like under your breath, that's fine with me. But let's say it, because, you know, when we speak that word, there is something about us hearing that word that activates that word in us, even if we're speaking it. This is why we should preach to ourselves from time to time, or maybe always, right? Edifying ourselves on the word of God. That's what it says. You know, edify. What are we to be doing? Making praise and supplication and lifting up our worship to the Lord, crying out to Him. All of that edifies us. So we're going to say this together. 1, 2, 3. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Let's say that on 3. 1, 2, 3. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Again, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So there is nothing that can control you unless you give it power and control over you. You are not meant to be a victim, and God forbid we live out of a victim mentality. I am so tired of a victim mentality. That doesn't mean that rights don't have to be, that wrongs don't have to be righted. It doesn't mean that justice ought not to prevail. But by golly, we can't see the world through a lens of a victim mentality. Because I'm going to tell you what, the more you see the lens through, the more that your lens is a victim mentality and you see the world that way, to that extent, you become a victim. You victimize yourself by a victim mentality. So I don't know what travail you're experiencing right now. I don't know what suffering you're going through right now, but God has an answer for you. And the answer lies in the power and the blood of the Lamb. You know, that's where it lies. So what we do then is we profess that. We profess it with our mouth. We profess it with our action. We profess it with our attitude. We profess it with our worldview. We get up out of the sorry state that we're in, and we begin to move under the Spirit of the living God. We let His grace, His life take up residence within us, right? And this is how we begin to prevail upon the world. We don't need guns. All kinds of artillery. We don't need violence. God doesn't operate in violence. He doesn't operate in violence. He doesn't operate in those kinds of anarchist attitudes. He operates in the full power of the Spirit. And we know who the Spirit is. We know the Spirit by His fruits. Peace, love, joy, and not a peace and a love and a joy that is a marshmallow kind of thing that we create, but out of the full surrender to the things of God in our life, that takes a great deal of chutzpah. It takes a real spine, you know. It takes a real strength to die to self and to let God work in us and to let God work through us. And if we stood in that, and listen, we've got it all through our baptismal graces. We've got it all through our confirmation graces. It's been nourished in us through every Eucharist. We've been patched up on the battlefield of life through the sacrament of reconciliation. We've been healed through the anointing of the sick. To what end? You know, just to simper around? No. To be that dynamic force for the Lord in the world today. To get out there. And to be a witness for Jesus in a collapsing world. Not to save the collapsing world, but to bring truth to this collapsing world. To rebuild it into this mystical body of Christ. Into this civilization of love that God desires. So anyway, those are some of the thoughts on my mind today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right now. We're eager to hear from you right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love to have holy conversation with you. We've got Donald on the line. He is in Watertown, Massachusetts. Station of the Cross is the way that he's with us. This is exciting. It's exciting. Donald is a first-time caller. And there is our first-time caller bell for Donald to welcome him. Good morning, Donald. How are you?
I'm okay. I just wanted to address the issue of wearing masks to yes. help stop the spread of the coronavirus. And you cited, I guess, a passage from Corinthians regarding letting the Lord, see our joyful faces. I just want to let your listeners know that the public health officials, including Dr. Fauci, have said the most important thing we can do if we go out in public, which is what you want, I assume. You don't want us to cower in our houses. Most important thing is to wear a mask. That in itself goes a long, long way toward stopping the transmission of the disease. So I think it's pretty irresponsible for you to suggest that somehow that violates some religious tenet. And
Donald, I think that, if I might interject, I think you completely misunderstood what I was saying. I was not saying we ought not to do everything that we possibly can that is being advised to us by those who have more knowledge than we on these topics. What I was saying is I'm hoping that this doesn't become our new normal, meaning that I'm hoping that this doesn't become a commonplace event once we are through this crisis. That's what I was referring to. And I think that that's what I pretty well stated, that we don't want this to become the new normal. You get a little concerned when you begin to see it becoming an industry, a little concerned when you begin seeing it take on vestiges that would suggest that this is going to be an in-place way in which we're going to behave forever. We don't want that. And I think you would agree with that. But when we're in a crisis situation, we need to do what we need to do in a crisis situation. I thought I clarified that pretty well, but I'm apologizing if I didn't.
Okay, so you would agree that especially for your older listeners, it's very important to wear a mask when going out in public.
I would agree that I think that it's important for us to follow the guidelines that are given to us. And there is room. There's a little wiggle room in those guidelines. I think that it's fine to wear a mask. I don't have any objection to that. Here in our county, for example, where I am in Alabama, we have a mandatory mask wearing that went into effect today. So, I think that we should obey the civil authorities. And I think that we're called to do what is required and what is recommended to us by those civil authorities, if it's a legitimate, a legitimate law or a legitimate mandate. So I have no problem with that. I know in other locations, however, it's not quite that way. It's wear a mask or observe social distancing. So I think that there is a little wiggle room depending upon where you are geographically and what's going on there. So I don't necessarily think that there is a blanket statement that, it overrides every other local jurisdiction. But I do think that it's advisable, given people's health conditions, to be responsible in the ways in which they can be to protect themselves and to protect others.
Well, yeah, sure. And I think you would agree that it's especially important for your older listeners.
Well, older listeners are in that at-risk population, so that would make sense to me. But, I don't think that we should clobber older people over the head if they don't have a mask on. I'm not suggesting that either. It depends upon their locale, there is, as I'm saying, there is a little wiggle room. I don't like to categorize things as responsible or irresponsible with a broad brush, because I think that takes away the fact that there are variables that do exist based on other circumstances, where they're located, what their health condition is. If you're out there and you're on a farm in rural America, do you need to walk around the cows with a mask on? I don't think so. You're not near any other people. So, just say, well, it's irresponsible. I don't like to make those kind of generalizations.
Oh, sure. If you're not around people, I don't wear a mask when I'm, say, out hiking by myself on a trail, but when you cited the passage from Corinthians, it seemed like you were kind of painting with a broad brush.
And I put that, I think that I clarified that in my earlier statement when I said that, we don't want this to become the new normal. We don't want this to be the way in which we now conduct ourselves for what is a temporary situation. We don't want to become a permanent reality. Because sure. I think then we've got to look at a bigger picture. And I can obviously we've seen things that have changed, the landscape of the way in which we do business in ordinary ways that have been for our benefit, and things that have been detrimental. So I, you know, I'm glad you called because I don't want anybody to think that I was saying what you thought I was saying because I was not.
Okay, I appreciate the time.
You're welcome, Donald. Appreciate hearing from you. Bye-bye now. Yeah, so I hope we all get that, right? Right? But I was going on there a little bit about the fact that, yes, indeed, you know, and why is that? You know, why is that? That you know, we have this beautiful opportunity at this point to be socially responsible to each other. But again, you know, there are variables that come into play. Well, we've got a Facebook question. We want to hear from you. We are open for business. Yes, we are. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Janice with us. She's out there on Facebook. She's wearing a mask, is being pro-life in many ways. You are caring for those around us. Well, yes, Janice, and I think that we've already discussed that. And I think that, you know, that's appropriate in many cases. So there you have it. And Beth, prayer request for my friend and neighbor whose adult daughter is an unrepentant, disrespectful alcoholic. Ah, gee, well, Beth, you know, these are very serious issues. And I must say that one of the negative effects that we have seen happening as a result of this very difficult situation that we find ourselves in is that people that are prone to addictions in many cases have been severely tempted and many have fallen victim to their addictions as a result of the isolation, as a result of the uncertainty, as a result of the depression that all of this brings on. And so we're going to take a moment here. We're going to lift up your friend and neighbor, and we're going to lift up her daughter. We're going to do that as soon as we come back from the break. We want to hear from you today. Nancy calling in from Colorado Springs, Colorado, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having this holy conversation with you. And we invite you to go out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Put a question there. We've been reading a couple from those opportunities here, and you can join them. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Coming right back to you. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, eager to hear from you today. We are available for you. Just give us a call. Here's a toll-free number for you to use right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. You can also get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and that's going to be at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature right there to get your question or comment up on the board for us. Said that we were going to start off with a prayer. And we are, and then we're going to go to Nancy, eager to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. So Beth was asking us for a prayer request for her friend and neighbor whose adult daughter is an unrepentant, disrespectful alcoholic. And I was saying, you know, these situations are very difficult all of the time. And we pray for all of those who suffer from serious addictions. Any kind of an addiction is not a good thing. But for addictions that are really life-threatening, for addictions that cause a lot of disorder, dysfunction in family lives, you know, these kinds of things, I think, you know, we've got to look at. And I was saying that lots of that has been exacerbated through this time of coronavirus. And we definitely know that the, you know, uptick in people relapsing to addictions and people perhaps allowing their addictions to become even more front and center during this time has happened. So we want to pray for Beth. We want to pray for you, Beth, for your neighbor, and for what's going on in your neighbor's life. But we also want to pray for everybody else out there. And maybe you're listening right now and you're suffering in this way. And you know that the isolation has gotten to you. You know that the just the general uncertainty of this, the disorder of how our lives have become. You know, it's called for a new reorganization of the way in which we do business and the way in which we even live our family lives. And maybe all of this has really exacerbated tendencies that you have. And so, Father God, we do come before you in this moment. In a special way, we present to you Beth's friend and neighbor. We present to you this poor woman who seems to be in bondage to these addictions, to the detriment of her family, to the detriment of herself. We ask, Father God, that you would enter into her life, that you would enter into the life of this family and all families and into the lives of everyone listening today who is tempted by a threatening relapse to an addiction or has given way to that already or whose addictions have become exacerbated. We want healing, Lord. That's what we're praying for here. We want healing, Lord. We want release, Lord God. We ask that you would, first of all, put the heart in the mind, do something that can be done to engage our will in an effort towards healing and hope and new life, relying upon you, making use of the graces that you give to us in every present moment, making use of the graces that we received in every sacrament, baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, reconciliation, anointing, any sacrament that we've received, the sacrament of matrimony, Lord, all of these graces, Lord, we ask now that they would be front and center at the ready for us to use and make use of. Father, I pray that you take hearts that are unrepentant. I pray that you take hearts that are living in a undermining way, a compromised way, Lord God. I pray that you take all of those hearts and you just marinate them in your love, Lord God. Just pick them up and put them into the most sacred heart of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, where they can be marinated, Lord, and made new, where the hard crust of that heart, the dirt of that heart, the hardened soil of that heart could be tenderized, Lord, that your love, that your grace, that your mercy might be penetrable to that heart. We ask, Lord God, that this would be so for Beth's daughter, her neighbor's daughter. We ask, Lord God, that this would be so in the lives of everybody that's listening today, because all of us in some way are compromised. We pray especially for those that are addicted, Lord God. We ask for all of this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen and hallelujah. Just want to share a very quick story, and then we're going to go to Nancy here. I remember years and years ago, I was praying for someone who was living a really dissolute life. And I was praying for this individual because it was affecting our family life, our extended family life. And I went to confession and I confessed the sin to the priest that I was losing my hope for this person, and that I was being really tempted toward a type of despair and a lack of trust in God with regard to this. And the priest was so lovely. He asked me, well, what is the circumstance? And I shared it with him. And he said to me, listen, he said, this involves the free will of another person. God will never trespass our free will, but there is a way that we can pray. He said, we should pray that God will just marinate that heart in his love, that this heart might be open to him. And, you know, I've been praying like that ever since then. And this is now, my goodness sakes, I don't know how many years ago now, this is 30 years ago. I've been praying like that every time I hear of a really hard case like this, where somebody's heart is just completely turned against the Lord. And, you know, and we can picture that because we know what it's like to marinate, you know, a piece of meat, right? We know what it's like to tenderize it, right? And we know, you know, from all of the beautiful parables that are given to us in sacred scripture, you know, the hardened soil of a heart prevents the seed of truth from entering. And one of the great ways that we can marinate, you know, a hardened heart is by praying the rosary for them. That's how my grandmother marinated my hardened heart at a very particular point in my life. It was through the rosary. So, you know, I really want to encourage you, you know, the rosary is the great marinator of the human heart. It's the great tenderizer. It really is. So pray rosaries for individuals that are so locked into these kinds of things. You know, are you going to see an immediate change? It isn't likely. God doesn't always work in the instant moment. Sometimes he does. But for the most part, it's a gradual process for the sake of our psyche, you know, that we don't collapse underneath the abrupt movement or change. But also because he's working great wonders out in ways that we can't see or understand. He's getting to deeper issues that, you know, this is just a reflection of. So don't let the evil one rob you of hope. as we talked about at the beginning of the program, we are all powerful with God. And when we pick up those holy beads, I want to tell you, you know, this is a weapon and we could wield it strongly. So I want to encourage you, Beth, to please pray for your neighbor's daughter, also for your neighbor, that they will have the stamina and the courage to pray and that they will be able to set up appropriate boundaries. You see, we don't let ill will towards us continue. We don't let verbal abuse towards us continue. We don't let physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological abuse, emotional abuse, any of that continue toward us. But what we do is our form of protection comes by way of the rosary. Our form of being effective in that situation comes by way of the rosary. So, you know, it's one way, obviously. Next to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, it's the greatest way. We can pray novena prayers too. Jesus says that, you know, these kind of demons are not released except by prayer and fasting. So attach fasting. It doesn't have to be from food. It can be from food, you know, whatever is necessary for you in your current condition. But by, you know, some active mortification for the benefit of the person. And this is what we do. Let's go to Nancy. She's in Colorado Springs, Colorado. She is listening to the Catholic Radio Network today. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a quick comment.
Sure.
Throughout all of this stuff that's going on, I take great offense in being lumped into a box and always being talked about the older generation, or the older people.
Yes.
I am older. I am not at as much risk as many of my younger peers. And I am healthy, and I am being prevented from doing things that I normally would do because I'm older. And I think that this is terrible. Go ahead.
No. Please continue.
Well, I think it's every time I hear it, I just get a blaze of anger, and then I have to sit down and say, Lord, I'm sorry. But it's, I don't like to be put into a box, and that's what's happening through all this. They're putting people into boxes when we should be able to use our own common sense and make some of our own decisions.
Well, you know, Nancy, I think that you make a very valid point there. You know, and there are some individuals that people would consider to be senior citizens that are very active, very involved. Their health is very good, you know, and I don't think that they should be segmented. And I do think that the majority of times that this is being referred to is referring to the compromised elderly, you know, and I think that.
But they don't explain that. They want to say, how about being compromised when you're 40 and you've got all of these health problems?
Yes.
They don't talk about them.
No, you're right. So this is a sensitive issue and there's no question about it. And I'm glad you expressed your view today. Hey, listen, there's many of us that they put in that box, Nancy. I'm just saying, you know, and it's you know, we don't necessarily view ourselves through that same lens, you know. The question is, what is elderly? You know, what is elderly? You know, there are a lot of individuals that are elderly that we would call elderly in the sense of age, who, as you say, are very vital individuals that are very healthy. And we wouldn't say that they have, you know, those kinds of situations that would make them, a particularly vulnerable population. But I would say that you, Nancy, are one of the few. I would say that a lot of people in that age category have suffered through some things that could make them a little bit more vulnerable. But you go, girl. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
You keep going.
I think it's terrible. We do this not only in this situation, but we do it in so many things in life now. We put people into boxes.
Yes.
And then once you get stuck in a box, you got to fight your way out.
Well, you know, the worst thing to do is to think of ourselves as being in a box. You know what I mean?
I
get that.
So anyway, I won't take up any more of your time. I have to go. I'm on my way to go help somebody plant some trees.
Well, there you go. Why does that not surprise me?
And the other thing is, with this wearing the masks, we can wear a mask too long, and it can be detrimental to the health because there's a lack of oxygen that gets into your lungs when you wear it too long. People that are driving in their cars and wearing masks are causing themselves problems, even if they don't know it. You should have a mask on if you're around people and close to them, but you shouldn't be wearing a mask in your home. And this comes from working in a hospital, and it's a medically thing. If you notice, medical personnel don't leave their masks on all the time.
Well, you know, I remember in the early days of this, Nancy, you know, and they were talking about this business of wearing masks, and they were very, very careful to give you all of these rules and regulations about mask wearing in terms of you can't touch the mask, you know, you can't do this, and the droplets on the front of the mask, and wear the mask like this, and it's got to cover your nose. I have seen people with masks in the most precarious of positions, you know, their whole nose is exposed. So I'm thinking to myself, how is this helpful? I just really don't know. And I've seen masks hanging from mirrors as I'm driving down the road, and I'm thinking, okay, so how is that protective? People are reusing their masks. They're handling their masks at all times, you know, they're not washing them after every use. If they're washable, they're not throwing them away. You know, if they're paper and using a new one. And so it's like, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, what is going on top of what you so, I think, well articulated, that, you know, you're just breathing in your own breath. It's not healthy. The carbon dioxide, none of that is really healthy. So this is the common sense part of all of this that I think, you know, we've got people in a bit of a frenzy, you know, where we're not necessarily taking the necessary precautions we should be taking if we are wearing a mask. So I don't know what the solution is.
Were to wash their hands, which we've supposed to have been doing since we were kids, if they would cough and cover their cough and do stuff like that, you know, some of this probably wouldn't have happened so badly in the first place. Yeah. But anyway, I pray daily that God will that God will rescue our nation. I read the Old Testament and I think of Israel when they're being overrun by Babylon, and I feel like we're in the same situation, or maybe like Sodom and Gomorrah. So pray, 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 and pray the rosary, as you say. Thank you very much for your time. Bye.
You're welcome, Nancy. Thank you very much. Yeah, we are in a precarious position. And here, Judy is out there in Facebook land, and she sent us a statement and a question. Can you please help me by giving me advice on how to deal with the anger I am feeling towards the protesters every time I watch the news? I see the good people suffering and the lawbreakers getting away with no consequences. It produces anger in me since I believe in following the laws in our country. And I thank you, Judy, for that. And I don't think that you're alone in this. And so let's talk a little bit about anger. Anger is an emotion. All of our emotions are given to us by God. Anger, therefore, in and of itself is not a negative. Anger will produce within us an energy. We know that. We can become very impassioned through anger. So that's an expression of an energy. Here, I'm not talking about the universal life force energy or any of that new age stuff. I'm just talking about the fact that we know that the adrenaline starts to flow and there's an energy that comes with that. Now, the question is, what do we do with that energy? God gives us the ability to be enraged by injustice. If we were not enraged by injustice, then we would just, you know, capitulate to injustice, right? We would all become unjust, and there would be lawlessness, recklessness, and there would be chaos. There would be disorder. That's a lot of what we're seeing right now. So what is the energy then that God would have us, what direction would God have us take that energy and channel it in? He would have us channel it into the good. Now, when it comes to these big national situations, you know, obviously we watch this and it incites a certain response in us, right? And we can become part of the problem. That's one of the responses. or we can do something about the problem. Now, our capacity to really influence that problem in terms of making and passing laws, or, you know, getting into the face of the mayor and saying, you know, you've got to do something about this, you know, that's limited. We have very little capacity in that area. It takes bigger guns than we to do that in terms of that kind of corrective effort. But what we can do is we can take that righteous indignation that we feel, we can take that anger, we can take that energy, and we can turn that into prayer and supplication. Now, oftentimes they say, oh yeah, well, pray, you know, but pray is the most important thing that we can do, because the evil one and his minions cannot stand up under the power of prayer. We can also pray for a lot of those people that are getting involved in these kinds of efforts, because they're being incited, in many cases, incited to be involved in these things through outside agitators. I remember very well being on college campus when I was in my years at Penn State University, and, you know, college campuses were a mess when I was there. And we had all these people that would come onto the campus and they would rile the students up. And I remember one time I went to, a gathering because I wanted to hear what they were saying. And this one's going on, and this guy's going on about revolution, and all the students are screaming and yelling. And then there was a time for questions and answers. And so I asked a question. And my question was this. My question was simply, okay, so I understand you want to tear down the establishment. This was the language. And frankly, this is the same thought today with these agitators. You want to tear down the establishment. So what are you going to raise up in its place? And there was no answer. He just went on to the next question. There was no answer. And there was no answer for a reason, because he didn't want us to know what the next step was. He may not have known the next step, or he might have known the next step. And I think that a lot of this agitation that we see today, people know the next step. This is an attempt, I think, to take advantage of a very real, painful, horrible situation and use it, you know, for an agenda. So a lot of the people that come in incite people. And I think that we've got to channel our prayers, you know, in certain directions. This is just me off the cuff here. You don't have to agree with me. But I'm just telling you what I'm thinking. I think that it would be important for us to take our prayers and pray for all of those that are easily led by these agitators, all of these that are easily inflamed by them, all of the tendency that we have to allow ourselves to get caught up in an unhealthy way in the midst of all of this. Back to Cardinal Seurat, you know, our job is not to save a collapsing nation. Only God can do that. Our mission, you know, is to be a witness for Christ. It's to stand in his shoes and do what it is that we can do, and we can do it through prayer. Jesus was always praying to the Father. I'm sure he was praying for personal strength in his humanity, but he was praying. He was praying for those that were persecuting him. He was praying for all of this. And my second recommendation to you, Judy, is don't watch the news all the time, because this just furthers, you know, an internal agita that can really be undermining us on several levels. It can be undermining us spiritually because we lose hope. It can be undermining us emotionally because it causes us to be frenzied. And that being frenzied can undermine us on a physical level because it can cause real serious agitation to our bodies, to our hearts, to our blood pressure, to many things. You know, one of the leading causes of like diverticulitis and all of these things has to do with stress. We put ourselves under a stress we ought not to put ourselves under. I'm not saying that we tune it out completely. I don't know how we could tune it out completely. We're living the reality of it. But we do what it is that we can do, given where it is that we are. And I love the principle of subsidiarity that is part of the Catholic social teaching, that the resolution to problems always lies with those that are closest to the problem, right? We are at a distance from some of these problems. Some of us are right in the midst of it, and we can affect that by going to our local, our local agencies, and expressing our displeasure. And I agree with you. It's not right that some people should lay claim by taking away the rights of other people, and that's what's happening in many cases here. And so that isn't right. But how do we solve it? How do we, I'm at a distance from these kinds of things. What do I do? Well, we've got to pray and we've got to sacrifice and we've got to take this on as a project that God's entrusting to us, right? So listen, tomorrow, special guest Kathleen McCarthy is going to be with us. She is going to be leading our healing service at our Women of Grace retreat that is coming up July 10th and 11th. I want you to get to know Kathleen if you don't know her. I want you to reacquaint yourself with her. You know, if you do know her, it's going to be a very special program tomorrow. We're going to be talking all about healing, and Lord knows we need it corporately and we need it individually. It's been great being with you today. Johnette Williams signing off for now. Get out there and Women of Grace at EWTN.com. Go to our womenofgrace.com website and sign up for our event July 10th and 11th. Made for happiness, made for joy. God bless you now. Bye-bye.